There you go.
15 is covered.
Yeah. Take care of, go take care of Mom.
All right, we are now at 13, Conflict of Interest Code. It is Karen.
Thank you. Every 2 years, we review the Conflict of Interest Code and see if there's any updates or changes that should be recommended. And we are recommending changes this time around. The Conflict of Interest Code is something that every agency in California has to have to identify those employee positions that have to file a Form 700 and designate the type of disclosure that they would have to make. And in our situation at Sacera, there was a new position approved by the board. It's still vacant, but it is the investment officer position, and we are recommending adding that to the appendix that lists the designated positions that have to file a Form 700. So that's one of the recommendations we're making in the proposed revision. The other is more of a format and form change, and that is to change the code so that the FBPC Regulation 1870 would be incorporated by reference in the code. That's something that the FBPC allows agencies to do. It shortens the code. It makes it more easy to read and understand. But what we're proposing is to actually add that regulation, the full text of the regulation, as an appendix to our code for the ease of reference. So in your packet, you have a memo from me that explains these changes. You have the draft updated Conflict of Interest Code and also a copy of our existing current code. Process-wise, if and when this board approves changes to the Conflict of Interest Code, it then goes to the Board of Supervisors. They are the code reviewing body under the FBPC regulations, and so they would have to review our changes and approve them, and once they do that, the changes become effective.
I'd move to adopt the foregoing updates or the proposed updates to the Conflict of Interest Code.
Second.
I've got a question for you, Karen. I agree with adding the investment officer into this. That's the change we made, right?
Yes.
Why would we not also add the compliance officer to this?
Yeah, and we had a discussion about that. That's a really good question. So the standard is that the positions that should be listed are the positions that are deemed to either make or participate in making decisions that impact the employee's financial economic interest. Mm-hmm. And we thought about this, and when the compliance officer position was first added, we determined that that position shouldn't be listed based on the tasks that it performs. We reevaluated that again this time and came with the same conclusion that that position is actually should be on the side of process and compliance analysis, but not to participate in decision making.
So in addition, our personnel policies, we have a gift policy that pretty much the only type of gift that is allowed is a gift that's under $50 and is edible and is shared, that can be shared with others in the organization. So those that aren't applicable to the FPPC standards, that would be their gift policy.
Okay.
They would fall under.
Yeah, I just, knowing what I know about what our compliance officer does, I believe he's involved in really sort of some audit functions with the plan sponsors, in addition to, you know, writing policy with respect to how that is taking place. And I don't see him any less of a potential conflict of interest. Actually, I would see it as more so than even an administrative human resource manager or an accounting manager.
So this isn't so much a conflict of interest issue. Mm-hmm. This is disclosures of various interests, mm-hmm. Income, property, gifts. And so the standard is, are they participating, making or participating in making decisions that would impact their economic interest? So doing the audit function or communicating with employers doesn't really rise to that level. If they were in a position where they are involved in vendor selection, contracts.
But I think he is, isn't he?
A compliance officer position, really, that is not their task.
Didn't we just have a discussion about selecting external auditors and things and contracting with them? Was he involved?
For the audit of the subledger decommissioning plan, we are looking at contracting with someone.
So was he involved in that?
He's one of the individuals that's involved in that process. But generally, when it comes to contracts and vendor relationships, he's not a key stakeholder in that discussion.
But that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because if this position is in fact involved in vendor selection, then yes, they would have an interest that we would want to make sure that they're designated in the code and file a Form 700. The administration manager, for example, is one where that is the reason why that position is in here, because of the vendor transactions.
So I think I'm getting this notion that he's involved in that process from our subcommittee meeting, which all of you may not, some of us were involved in, but not all of us. So that's kind of where that's coming from.
Well, she does bring up, Deborah brings up an interesting point. So, and I could be off what the law is trying to do, but Raleigh goes into employers and he looks at their codes, and you know, he's making a determination. Geez, this is a pensionable, in his estimation, what I would put forth to the board is this is a pensionable item or this is not. Wouldn't it be helpful to know if, you know, he for some reason he receives some sort of gift from like the DSA when he goes into?
That's a really, really good example and a good question. There's an absolute prohibition against the receipt of such a gift.
Okay.
So there's an absolute
prohibition.
That goes prohibition
to what Gail
against
that goes to the personnel
right.
policy.
Okay.
Just in terms of the function of determining pensionability, mm-hmm. no, that doesn't rise to the level of the position that needs to be designated in the code.
Thank you.
I'm glad you asked that. That was what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we had a number of discussions around this because we didn't want to just say, oh, well, when it was first created, we decided it shouldn't be subject to this, but we really took a look at it, and this is kind of where we've landed is to,
I'm comfortable just hearing that there was this kind of robust review of it.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah, there was.
We had a motion and a... We lost him in the middle of the motion.
Can't left.
Yeah, are you going to call the vote?
We have a motion and a second.
He's right here.
And we have cookies.
He wants to vote up.
It's good to be king.
the downside of eating and working.
All right, we are ready for a motion.
We have a motion and a second.
Well, we already have it already.
Mm-hmm. All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Motion passes unanimously.